We are looking at part two of what we looked at last week, which is treasures in heaven. I want you to just relax, pay attention, because God will really bless your life today. Okay? And the title is Treasures in Heaven, part two. So last week, we finished on a note. We talked about relationships. Do you remember relationships? And we're talking about why people can be in love. And then after 1 or 2 years, it varies. We just stress is like, and some people's love fade before 1 year. I've never had a people that got married and within a year, you know, it's all cats and dogs. Yeah. So about 2 years. Now I'm talking about those who are in love, because it's possible also for there to be a marriage where people have not fallen in love. You know, they just married like in the old times. They have the arranged marriages. But the amazing thing is that with time they learn to love each other, and they could even go much longer than those who married by falling in love. And that's why you see with the celebrities, you know, they're always falling in and out of love. One moment, they've married the best person in the world. I don't want to give specific examples. I hope examples can come up. And then, after 2 years, they're out. And then they fall in love again. And some people have gotten addicted to that because they feel that's the only way. They enjoy the emotion. But love is much more than what? An emotion. So why do people fall out of love? It's because somewhere along the line, they started taking each other for granted. Let me tell you the cycle. It could happen mutually, or it could happen, someone may be the trigger. So one party may be the trigger. They're in love. Of course, when you're married, you start finding out things, or most importantly, you start getting familiar. Then, one of the parties will start taking the other for granted. Yeah? And because the other person is a human being, a fully satisfied human being in the flesh, the moment they start feeling taken for granted, what will they do? They will retaliate. And there comes the downward slope. Yeah? Of the love that was so hot, so romantic, and it falls down the slope. Are you with me? So, question today is, how do you repair a relationship whose love has waxed? And you may be wondering, why am I doing this? Because we're going to take it to our relationship with God. Because we're looking at treasures in heaven. Yes? Let me ask somebody. I think I gave the hint last week. You're in a romantic relationship. And I hope that when I'm talking about romantic relationship, you're talking about just one person. God permits you to be in a romantic relationship with what? Only one person. Otherwise, there'll be chaos. Yeah? And the love that you used to feel in your bones has gone what? Cool. How do you repay it? Come on, church. Yes. Yes.
Root cause. Why?
Yes. So you find out the root cause.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that's right. But obviously there could be many root causes. What if there are so many that you couldn't even find out all? Can I give an example? Sometimes, and that's happened to me, by the way. Sometimes you sit down to find out the root cause. And for 2 hours, it's just story upon story upon story. And you can have a party who takes over the conversation. 2 hours, they are telling you the root cause. I know some people like that. They'll be telling you, you did this, you did that, you did that, you did that. After 30 minutes, they run out. They will start again. How do you solve it? Yes? Let's take more. So I said, you must find out the root cause. Yes? How do you repair a relationship that the love has once could? Obviously, I'm saying that you want to repair it because you know that the love being hot is where you should be, isn't it? Yeah. Come on. So that answer is good. Let's take it further. I gave you a clue last week. Develop it from there. Yes. How do you repair a relationship whose love has waxed cold? I can hold it for you. But if you want to hold it, I allow you. No problem. But yeah.
I got on my toes. I guess the first thing is you need to want to repair the relationship first.
You must be willing.
Yeah. I think that's the first thing.
If you stop there, it's good. Amen. You must be what? Willing. But the problem is this. A relationship has to do with two parties. One party is willing. The other is not. Do you give up? Yes, okay. But I accept that if you are not willing, you are going nowhere. Yes, any other place, any other way. We will apply this to our relationship with God eventually. But let's stay there a bit.
The other person must be ready to listen and communicate effectively.
Yes. Listening, communicating, but it comes down to willingness. You know, it's correct. Willingness will help you want to listen. Some people don't want to. They don't want to listen. It's terrible. Even though what is, you miss God himself. Imagine the prophet Balaam. God had to open the mouth of his donkey. And he was still arguing with the donkey. He didn't even realize at that moment that he's talking to a donkey. That's what can happen if you are not willing to listen. You will be degraded to the level of communication with donkeys. Yes? Any other one?
To apply the other way in terms of our relationship with God to human relationships. The Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. You know, that's why he's patient. And I think if one person is willing and the other is not, the willingness of the first person, and give them a bit more patience, which gives the unwilling party time to come to their senses, really.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, because that goes back to what I said, that, you know, one party may be willing, but the other party is not willing. You know, that doesn't make the situation what? Hopeless. Because when we take it back to our relationship with God, God was always willing. I would say it's in the 2 Peter 3. He said, God is not willing that any should what? Perish. That means that God is willing to save everybody. Yeah? But that also come to repentance. And the context is saying that the Lord, that's why the Lord is patient. Amen? He's patient. So when you are willing and the other part is not willing, you need what? You have need of what? Patience. If you're ever going to fulfill the will of God in your life, in any part, you have need of patience. Hebrews chapter 10. It says, don't cast away your confidence. I can change and say, don't cast away your faith or your hope. He said, because you have need of patience. So that after you have done the will of God, you have done the will of God, you are doing your part. But that doesn't mean sometimes you don't see immediate results. But you have need of patience. So that you once you've done your part, once you are patient, the reward will come. But if you are not patient, you can do your part and the result is aborted. That's why you have need of what? Patience. Yes, any other contribution? Well, now you can repair a relationship that the love has gone flat. In some relationship, the love has died. In someone that is dying. How can you repair it? Because we're going to apply it to our relationship with God. Because the Bible makes us understand that our love can wax cold. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall do what? Wax cold. But he that what? Endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That salvation is not just talking about being born again. It's talking about, you know, your final, you know, you're making it to the end. You're overcoming. You're landing on Canaan's side, you know, to destination. Yes, I see your body language. Like you have something to say. Yes, I'm happy to take you. Yeah, you can hold it. I can hold it. Not a problem.
So, maybe forbearance and walking in love. So, if somebody's not, obviously one party is not willing, if it's a Christian person, the party who is willing, who is a Christian, will have to engage the principles of walking in love, and they will have to have the strength to forbear, which is basically patience, tolerance, just keep going.
Amen. You see, human love, particularly I'm talking about romantic love here. So the young people in the house, your time will come. You know, it's like romantic love is almost like the best thing, the best part of human love. I mean, it doesn't get on the human level. It doesn't get more advanced than that. Yeah? But human love is still inferior to God's love. Amen? Human love is what? Much. So, whenever you're operating on a level, yeah, and it's not working, you have to switch to what? A higher level. Don't ever switch to a lower level. You know the lower level? Lower level is tit for tat. You showed me. You think I'm a fool, yeah? Don't worry. You know, there are different ways that people do it. Sometimes you have the expressive person. They'll be aggressive. They'll be angry. No, actually, it can happen. You know, someone does something to you. You know, you imagine you are in love with someone and they've always treated you right. And suddenly they throw you a missile as they behave in a particular way that shocks you. Yeah? She's a shocker. It's you're terribly offended. And it makes it worse when they don't realize it, or they don't accept it, or they don't admit it, or they don't care. Yeah? In your human nature, you will start planning what? And it works differently. Some people are the expressive one. It's aggression. That's why you see some people, you know, end up, you know, being violent. It doesn't mean they are evil. It's just that they are shocked and they don't know how to react. So they react with brute force. That doesn't make them right. I'm just saying. But some other people are very strategic. They will not say anything. They will allow you to have your way. But they will withdraw. It's still revenge. Praise the Lord. So, how do we overcome relationship with love at Wasco? The reason why any love, Wasco, if there was ever love, if there was no love, we have to go back to first. There's a foundational problem. It's a bigger problem, but it can still be solved. But if there was ever love, the reason why it goes down is somebody, at least one of the parties, started taking the other word for granted. Let me give an example. Imagine that somebody married a beauty queen. When I say beauty queen, like Miss what? Miss Ukraine. I read it in the news. There's a Miss Ukraine I saw on the news. You know, maybe before they married, they're like, if I can just be lucky enough, you know, to even meet this person physically, it's like heaven. But now they got so lucky, they not only met her, they talk to her, she agreed, they're married. Yeah? It's like they're in heaven. Yeah? But somewhere along the line, they stop seeing the Miss Ukraine in her. Started taking that for what? For granted. That's how love works, is good. And when Miss Ukraine finds out that she's no longer being valued, what will she do? She will show you the other side. Some don't. So to repair, we must reverse it. That means that your love cannot be rekindled. Yeah? Without humility and gratitude. You see, you take something for granted because you stop being grateful. Amen. See, that's why that prophetic word came today, 2 Timothy 3:2. Neither they were unthankful. When you're unthankful, yeah? Something that is of value, you will treat it like rubbish. Yeah? Because it's like a bird in hand. Familiarity. So, for me to rekindle my love, whether for my wife or for God, or whether for my children or any other person in my life, I need to embrace what? Gratitude. Amen? You need what? You need gratitude. You know, sometimes some people don't understand. There are some people that are praying and trusting God for marriage. We are married. Amen? You have another human being who have committed their self and their life to you. Maybe not now, but they did. Amen? Be grateful. Hallelujah. Be what? Grateful. Say to yourself, I need to be grateful. Hallelujah. And the second point, this is applied both to men and women, it doesn't matter your gender. Humility. You can't ever rekindle love. If you like, go to many counseling sessions, go to holiday and back, money, whatever. If you don't humble yourself. Because the reason why we start taking something for granted is because we rose in our estimation of ourselves. Amen? See, when you are humble, you can reach out. Because you can't appreciate value without humility. Yeah? Say, I need to calm it down. Not overestimate myself. Hallelujah. Then you can see. The Bible says that if your eye is good, your whole body will be what? Full of light. But when your eye is bad, you can't see. Amen? So someone said it rightly that, you know, you need to be willing. Then you need to be grateful. So just says, I need to be grateful. Hallelujah. It's not just in romantic relationships. Even in every other relationship in your life, you know, your sister, your friend, members of your workplace, in the church, I need to be grateful. Sometimes I just look at the pastor, I look at, you know, the people around the church, I just look at them and I smile. Because I'm trying to re-experience gratitude for them. I just say, thank you, Lord, I have this person in my life. Amen. Amen. Because when you are grateful, you will not take them for granted. Hallelujah. Willingness. Humility. Yeah? Gratitude. And then perseverance. Amen. Let me just open that place. We'll go back to treasures in heaven. But let's go back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know it, but I want to teach it a bit differently. And you may wonder, so you say, why do we have to, you know, come to church and listen to the word over and over and over again? It's because when you get familiar, you will what? You take it for granted. And the moment you start taking something for granted, you stop seeing. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Are you there? Okay, I just want you to read this one. You know it. You know it. It's a big phrase. 13 verse 8. The first sentence. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8. The first sentence there. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. The first sentence.
Love never fails.
Love never fails. Another version. 1 Corinthians 13, 8.
Charity never faileth.
I like that. Charity never faileth. Yes, another version. Another version. Sorry, Joseph. Yes?
But love will last forever.
Love will last forever. Another version.
Love knows no limits to its endurance.
Ah, I like that one. Another version. Any other version? This, yeah. I think the one, you know, my brother said is one like, where I'm going. Love never fails. It means that. Another version says love never gives up. Not human love. Human love fails over and over and over again. If you're hanging your life on human love, you'll be frustrated. You'll be bitter. It doesn't matter if you're the bishop. Someone will offend you. Can I change it? Someone must offend you. Because so long you're dealing with humans, there will be offense. You know, for one reason, we have different brains. Someone must offend you. But love never what? Never gives up. Hallelujah. Love never was. And that's, you understand that God never gives up on you. Until you, but when you cross the line, yeah? When you, the Bible says, appointed to men to die once, and after that, the judgment. That's the end point. But pending that, to the last minute, God is still working to reach out to you. Amen? So if I settle it in myself and said, you know, like in my own marriage, I said, look, my wife is my wife forever. Praise the Lord. You know, I make those confessions, you know. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. So, I'm going to love her forever. Hallelujah. And the foundation is the love of God. That's the one that cannot what? Fail. Hallelujah. And because love never gives up. The reason why we love, now, in another setting, it may be said, love never fails. Like, if you walk in love, you will overcome. It's true, but don't forget the fact that it is because you will persevere. What was your version again? The reason why your love will win out eventually is because it was. That's why it will win out. Amen? That means that no matter what you do, I will love you with the love of Jesus. So does that mean that I should be taking slaps from you every time? No, not necessarily. You need wisdom. But it means that I will forever seek your best interest. Amen? It doesn't mean that there are times you will not withdraw. But it's not a permanent withdrawal. It's just temporary so that you are not unnecessarily hurt. But it's not going to be permanent. If you ever have to withdraw, it's going to be short term. When I say short term, a short instance, just to avoid unnecessary hurt. But there are some necessary hurts. If you're going to relate with people, yeah? Yes, so there are times you will turn the other cheek. You are not doing that of foolishness. You are doing it by faith. Hallelujah. Because your focus is to win out. You are going to win. That's your reward. What's your reward? You will win. But in winning, you will endure. You will persevere. You will continue to do good. You are not even doing it for their sake. Forget about it. You are not doing it for their sake. You are doing it what? To honor the Lord. See, when I do good to someone, I lost the feeling. I didn't feel like doing good to them. They hurt me. Even as a pastor, there are people that have hurt me. You can be hurt anywhere, in your workplace, whatever. Even some parents, their children hurt them. And some children, their parents have hurt them. Yeah? But you will continue to seek their best interest to honor the Lord. Amen? That's the motivation. And then when you do that, the Lord will reward you. Amen? The Lord will what? He will reward you. Now let's take it to God. The difference between this, what I've just described, and God is that God is perfect. So when you say God, is what? He's perfect. So when my love for God is waxing cold, yeah? Where is the problem? Remember that God is perfect. I used to attend church. Yeah? When I got born again. Every Sunday, I'm there. And I'm not just there. I'm one of the most punctual. In fact, I would come and sweep the whole place neat. 5 years down the line, the need is still there. But then I stopped. I attend church poorly. I come late. What is the problem? Yes? Come on, church, help me. That's just an example. There are many examples. Okay. There are many examples. When I got born again, I was not using any swear words again. 5 years down the line, I went back. Started calling people idiots and fools. What is the problem? Yes?
Lack of commitment.
Lack of commitment, yes. Remember, God is perfect. Why did my love wax cold? Why should my love wax cold? I love Jesus. I still say that I love Jesus. In fact, most Christians, if you are still in the faith, I will not imagine that you cannot say that you love Jesus. If you get to a point that you can't say that you love Jesus, you are gone. Yeah? If you're in faith, no matter how bad you are, you must still love Jesus. Amen? So, but why? Why has your attitude changed? Why is it poor? Why is it negative? What is the problem? It's not a God problem. Yeah? It's a man problem. So what's the problem? Yes? Come on, say something. Nobody?
It means I've begun to take God for granted.
Please put your hands together for what I told you. That's excellent. It means that you have developed an attitude. Well, let me explain. You have grown wings. I don't mean bird wings. I mean flight wings. You know, like in military, please correct me if I'm wrong, you can have wings. And they're not like flying wings, but they're, you know what I mean? They're flaps. Over your uniform. Yeah? Or actually, some military uniform, you see some special bands there. You go, sorry? Yes. You say, take go for granted. Why do we do that? Familiarity? What else? Can there be any other reason why your people's love can wax cold? There are. Think about it. There are other reasons why your love can wax cold. To God. Not to man, not to that imperfect man, but God.
Complacency maybe and just issues of life, just feeling
issues of life. Yeah, you have your focus has shifted. Issues of life is a very important answer. Yes.
I don't think he's doing enough.
Yeah, sometimes you mean like God. Yeah, sometimes you may suffer a disappointment with God. And you may blame, you may get angry with everybody that has to do with God. Yeah? You know, sometimes that people don't feel like coming to church because they just feel that God has let me down. Amen? But can I say this to you? God cannot let you down. What does he say? You know why? God does not change. Amen? With or without you, God is what? God. Amen? God did not love you because you loved him. God loves you because he loves you. Say, just say, God loves me because he loves me. Because he is love. Hallelujah. It was not dependent on you. Amen? It's who he is. It's his permanent position to love you. And God cares for your best interest. Always. He cannot but do it because that's who he is. So if something is failing, yeah, it's not God. But you need to be reminded because there is a devil. Let me test you now whether you remember this. In the Bible, the devil is viewed as two animals. What are the animals that represent the devil in the Bible? In the beginning, it was viewed as one animal. In the end, it was viewed as the other. They are both the same, different versions of the same person. Yes, one?
Snake.
Snake, or the better word is a serpent. Yes, and what's the second animal? So that was in Genesis. In Revelation, it's revealed as another animal. The dragon. What is the power of the serpent? If you don't know it, just check the story of Adam and Eve and what the serpent did to him. What's the power of the serpent? How does the serpent operate to cause harm?
Subtlety,
yes. And what's the goal of that subtlety? To deceive. Amen? The power of the serpent is deception. And the serpent has used this through seduction. Let me explain. Seduction operates from distraction. If somebody that wants to seduce somebody, yeah, to do the wrong thing, let's assume sexual immorality, they will emphasize some parts of their body. Why? Why? The goal is what? To distract you. So when you see now, you're no longer seeing normal. You are seeing special. Are you with me? It's a spirit of a seducing spirit, it's a lying spirit. His goal is to distract. To seduce, you must distract. You cannot seduce anything without distracting them. Are you with me? So, because we are living in this world, things can happen in your life. You can have issues, you can have whatever issues, and the devil is there seducing. He's distracted. He will come and use your issues to distract you and tell you that, you know what, there are other ways. Yeah? Amen? Then, let's go to the dragon. The dragon, what's the power of the dragon? The devil was posing as a dragon. What's his strategy?
Fire.
Yeah. What is that fire aim to do? Now, don't go to the final end of all, whether the serpent or the dragon, the final end that they want to destroy you, yeah? So forget about that. That's the final conclusion. So that's on strategy. That's the end. Yeah? But what's the side of the dragon to destroy? The side of the serpent to destroy is distraction, deception. The strategy of the dragon to destroy is what? You can interpret it in Revelation chapter 13. When you talk about the beast and the false prophet. What was their strategy? Those strategies are there. Yeah? You said they were deceived, and there's another strategy. You know it. The dragon. What does the dragon do? When you think of dragon, what do you think about it? What are the characteristics of a dragon? Sorry? Yeah, that's the final hand. What's the characteristics? Intimidation? Strong? Yeah, so let's say a dragon is fierce. Yes? Any other one? Even the fire is intimidation. Yeah. The dragon is by force. You see, when the serpent came, he didn't force Eve. Did he force Eve? Did the serpent force Eve? The serpent just distracted her. Then Eve, when you are deceived, the serpent can use you. Eve became the dragon to Adam. Now, I'm not talking anything bad. Both of them had problems. I was asking someone yesterday, I said, who has the greater sin? Someone was deceived and did something wrong. But somebody was not deceived and did something wrong. Who had the greater sin? Who was deceived? Adam was not deceived. Adam was what? No deceit. So why did he do it? Why did he do it? Sorry? Human love. But it wasn't, it's the way we see. We thought it's human. This is not a love business. Please open your Bible to Genesis. I want you, let's go back there. Because I'm trying to deal with the issue of, you know, when you have a disappointment in life. Yeah? And you blame God and your love was good. I want you was at work there. Genesis 3. You enjoy it. It's just that sometimes we read it and we, you know, we skip it, but it's there. Genesis 3, are you there? Are you there? Look at verse 13. We want to know why the woman sinned. Yeah? Why did the woman sin? Genesis 3:13. Yes, somebody help me. Somebody has been quiet today. Who is that person? He's in that corner. Genesis 3:13. Anyone ready? Yeah. I'll come back to you. Yes.
And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
So why did the woman sin?
The serpent deceived her.
So who was at fault as far as the woman was concerned? The serpent. Okay, let's read verse 12. Genesis 3:12.
The man said, "The woman you..."
No, just do 11 so that we see the background.
11, okay. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?"
That's God speaking. Go on.
"Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?"
Mm-hmm.
The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree and I ate it."
So as far as Adam was concerned, who made him to sin? How did the woman achieve it? Yes. Yeah, we all believe, even if we say you made this happen. But the point is that as far as Adam is concerned, who made him to sin? Was this happen? Who? How did she do it? Never thought about it. She, remember, she's deceived now. When someone is deceived, they will seek to manipulate and control the other. Because as far as Eve is concerned, the best thing in the world is to eat it now. She's deceived. There's no other common sense. In her mind, the best thing for her family now is what? To eat. So, if I tell you gently, Adam, by the way, you know, I just want to tell you that, you know, if you hit this tree now, you know, your life will be good. Adam was not deceived. Will he just accept? It will take manipulation and control. It will take intimidation and pressure. So if you don't eat this, I'm not going to talk to you for 1 year. This man is still bad in love. You can't even keep away from one day. They both are destroyed. So basically, when you suffer a disappointment, yeah, that's not the end of the matter. It's because what the devil will come in and begin to speak. Yeah? That's why when you are disappointed, it's not the time to withdraw from the presence of the Lord or from fellowship. When you are down, that's when you need to hear God more. Because you are vulnerable. You are vulnerable. And the last voice you want to hear is the voice of what? Of the devil. And the devil doesn't always come directly. He comes through people. If the devil wants to pressurize you to do the wrong thing or to go down, don't think he will show up, you know, directly. It will move in your life through people. Praise the Lord. So when my love for us, God has asked, what do I need to do? I need to repent. Repent just means turn back the compass. Let me show you how to do it. One, I've started taking God for. I've stopped paying attention to what God has to say. What God has to say on the matter is no longer the biggest, no longer sacrosanct in my mind. What people have to say or my experience is more important in my mind than what God has to say. It always have to do with that. So let's go to our topic today. And let me just unpack just one part of it, which is Matthew 6, verse 21. Matthew 6. Yes, you can have it from a youth. Matthew 6:21. Let's have a young person in the house. Who will it be? Let's go this corner. Yes. Matthew 6:21. New King James or New Living. We have three of you. Anyone ready? Yes. I'll hold it for you.
Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be.
Okay. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Yes. Another version? Do you have another one? Okay.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
Please pay attention to this. It will bless you. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Now it says, lay up treasures, not on the earth, because it's perishable, but lay up treasure in heaven. Why? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What does that mean? Please explain to me. What is he saying there? Say, when the Bible says, where your treasure is, that's also where your heart or the desires of your heart will be. What does that mean to you? Say it in a different way. Yes?
What you spend your time and resources on is where you're likely to be.
Is where your heart is.
Is where your heart is.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, yes. I like that more.
If your heart is heaven, mm-hmm. then you do things.
Yes, focus. Because actually later on, after 21, he started talking about focus. Talking about your eye. Yeah? It's a light, and if your eye is single, he's talking about your focus. Yes, more? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be.
You give priority to the things you've invested in.
Yes. Another one. So what I'm opening is that it is measurable. It is what? When people tell me, they say, God sees my heart. I tell them, he sees it. You don't get what I'm trying to say. You know, when he says, God sees your heart, you need to remember that he actually sees it. He sees your desires. He sees your intention. He sees everything you're hiding. Yeah? He can predict you. God does not predetermine. You have a free will. You can decide, for example, that tomorrow, you know, you want to sleep all day. I'm not saying you should. To say that, that would be nice. Yeah? If you end up sleeping all day, it's not God that predetermined you to sleep all day. That makes sense. It was your choice. Does it make sense? Oh, there could be times that God can lock you down and make you sleep by force. But that's not going to be every day. You are choosing. Are you with me? You are choosing. So, I've lost my topic. Come back. So, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. It's measurable. We can know where your treasure is. Not we. You can know. Because where your heart is where your passion will be. Where your heart is where you will spend your treasure. Where your heart is what you will give priority to. It is measurable. It is measurable. So you can only sit down and check your life and you will know where your treasure is. If you are challenged, if you are constrained, yeah? What gets your best attention? Even in the midst of constraints. That's where your treasure is. Please take a moment and look at your life. And ask yourself, you know, just reflect and, you know, what can motivate me when I don't have motivation? Like, I don't have motivation, but this item comes up, it must be done. Not negotiable. That's treasure. That's something you value. Your heart is in the other things you really value. Now, let me say this to you. If you value God and your relationship with God, you will live for Him. When you have treasure in something, you are living for it and you are prepared even to die for it. I mean, not in all cases. Some people don't want to die under any circumstance. Amen? So, the problem of our love for God is about the directed priority or the misdirected priority. Now, genuinely in life, you can go to constraints. There are constraints. Sometimes there are financial constraints. Sometimes there are, you know, physical constraints. You know, like, you know, sometimes you may not feel as well or as strong, you know, as before. Sometimes there are time constraints. Time. You have so many things to do. Sometimes there are, what are the constraints? Emotional constraints. Like maybe, it's not every day you'll be feeling like happy-go-lucky. Yeah? You know, I just find that I analyze my life. I find that I'm naturally attracted to happy-go-lucky. Because I'm not anyway. Yeah? But when you start working with the happy-go-lucky, know what I mean by happy-go-lucky person? Audrey. Who is a happy-go-lucky person? You know, when I'm asking you a question, like just like Father God, there's something under it. Do you know where a happy-go-lucky person is?
Yeah. Audrey, look here. Happy-go-lucky person. You. Always happy.
Yeah. Okay. You know, happy go is just someone just light-hearted, you know. More than half the time, they will smile. No, they're sparky. I like sparky people. I don't know. I just studied myself. It's an analysis that I'm just going to be naturally attracted to a sparky person. I just studied it. It's not like, this is not something spiritual. It's something just in the flesh. Everybody has different things in their flesh, yeah? If you are a sparky person, you probably will attract someone who is very straight and narrow. Now, what I found out is that the attraction is good. But when you start working with the happy go lucky person, sometimes it looks like they don't have any care in the world. Yeah? But instead, you will now begin to see all the lapses. Because they don't have any care in the world, there will be things left undone. And that's not funny. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time, the Lord is good. So, where our treasure is where our heart is. So, we need to put God at the top of the priority. Yeah? At the top. And I'm not just talking about coming to church. I'm talking about in every part of the life. The interest of God should come first. You understand? One of the things that really helped me, and I thank God for humility, is we can all have daily doses of humility. You will be a better person. If you want to be a better person, yeah? The first thing you need to embrace is what? And that word for it is meekness. Jesus came as a lamb. Yeah? The God of gods came was as a lamb. Yeah? You know, I put in something last week, we might have shocked somebody. I said, why Jesus the dearly loved son of God? Why Jesus the beloved son of God? Of course, it can be argued because I've had different answers. You know, he's the son of God, he's eternal, co-eternal with God. And all those are true. But from just that statement, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am what? Well pleased. He didn't say he's the only loved son, but he's beloved. You know, you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, yeah? Yes, he's the first out of many. Yeah? But he said, in whom I am what? Well, so the question is, how did? And that statement is coming at a particular time in his life, he just had the baptism. How did Jesus qualify for that? I mean, like, you could say to me that Jesus is standing with God, he has always been there, God loves him anyway. Yes, but he's telling, God doesn't just say something for nothing's sake. He's talking at a particular moment, he's giving you a message. Philippians gives us the answer. Philippians 2. The Bible says that though he was in the form of God, yeah? He thought no robbery to be equal with God, but what? He humbled himself and made himself of no reputation and took the form of a slave. And he was obedient unto death. Therefore, God has also highly what? Exalted. If he didn't go down, exaltation means nothing. Amen? Humility will always make you a better person. Hallelujah. And when you humble yourself, you begin to see what you are not seeing. Amen? There are things I'm looking back in my life and say, oh, but why did I do that? Like, I've done things in my life and I don't consider myself to be a bad person. But I've done things in my life, I look back like, why? What was going in my head? But when you are proud and full of yourself, you will not see it. You will not see it. You will just see your rightness. Amen? So we all need that good dose of what? Humility. If you want to work with God, you need what? Humility. You will see. The benefit of humility that you will see. You will see what you are not seeing. Everything that what was so difficult will become easy. In fact, when you are humble, you will start seeing how to help other people that are making your life difficult. You will be seeing, you will be smiling like, oh, this is, you know their problem. Because you see, there's no log in your eye. Or there's no, what? Is it log or beam? Or how do they say it? He said, if you don't take away that log or beam in your eye, you can't help the other person remove what? The speck. Your pride is the beam. You will not see well. You won't see well. But when you can see well, you can empathize. And the moment you can empathize, you find solution to help. Yeah? Let me finish on this note. Time has gone. Coming back to relationships. Sometimes you may look at the other person and say, oh, okay, you gave me an answer last week. You're like, okay, someone married someone and after some years, they've changed. Yeah? People perform according to motivation. Your love for someone can motivate them in the right direction. Yeah? So, if somebody changed under you, don't blame them alone. Look, if they were always like that, no problem. They were always like that, no problem. You married them like that, isn't it? You knew they were like that before you married them. You should not complain. Praise God. It's like someone said, oh, I'll marry a Muslim, and when I marry him, I'm going to convert him. If for 30 years he refused to be converted, don't complain. Because you married him and you knew what? He was a Muslim and you were satisfied. Hello? What you are not willing to live with for the rest of your life, don't marry. But once you've married, yeah, your input into their life has always got to make their life better. And if they are not better, don't blame them. Because you will not solve the problem that way. You will never solve the problem that way. Yeah? You remember, before you came into their lives, they were getting along the way they were. When you came, you saw them. You saw, and you were happy. Now, I know you tell me you didn't see everything. But you saw them, and you were happy. You saw the package, you were happy. Now, when you come in, your job is to make the package better. And it will always get better. You see, love will always motivate the other person to do better. Love can never motivate anybody to do worse. Love will motivate another. If you give someone love, their heart will open. If their heart is not opening, you are not giving them the love enough. Amen? Let's stop it there. So, Bible says where their heart is, where your treasure is, your heart will be. So, if I love God, my passion must reflect that I love God. You see, if I'm weak and I could not do any other thing, I will miss every other meeting, but I will not miss church. I've prioritized where the passion is. Amen? If I have money, I have income, if I could not afford any other thing, the part that goes to God will not be negotiable. That means it's first love. That's not first. First love is first. So we say first love is always first. You see that? If I am, one of the things that really helped me, I remember what I was going to say, that really helped me with my relationships is to understand that, or life is that. I always say, if I say that, I don't want to bring glory to the devil. Every time you react in the situation according to the flesh, who takes the glory? Do you see what I mean? And think about it. You are a child of God, but your actions are bringing glory to the devil. I don't want to. He said, for me, it's a motivation. So even when things are tough, when things are tense, you just say, this thing I'm about to say now, who will take the glory? I'm not saying you're perfect, but remember that. What brings glory to God? Go for that option. Even if it's tough, He will reward you. The Lord what? Will reward you. He said, if your enemy is hungry, what should you do? Give him bread. Why are you giving it? Is it because you love him? No, you don't like what? You don't like our behavior. Why are you doing it? Unto the Lord. Amen. If he's thirsty, give him drink. You don't like him. You don't. But you are doing it unto the Lord. And if you go to Proverbs, because that place where Paul was writing Romans 12, he's quoting from Proverbs. Proverbs says, he said, and the Lord shall reward you. The Lord will what? Reward you. Because you did it for him. And you are opening up a door to transform that life. And maybe they don't even care. Maybe they don't say thank you. Maybe they don't, whatever. Don't worry. Who did you do it for? The Lord. And what? He will reward you. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's rise up and pray. I pray that God has spoken to you today. We talked about love. We talked about treasure. You know, in all cases, you want to live for His glory. That's why I want you to pray your prayer. Now, Lord, because I love you, I want to put you first. In my money, put you first. In my time, put you first. In my relationships, I want to make decisions that we all know you. I want to represent you well. That's love. That's love. When you really love somebody, you don't want to put them to shame. You don't want to dishonor them. No, I don't want to. And the Bible says, Apostle Paul says, the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us. Say to yourself, the love of Christ constrains me to do the right thing. It's that love that is motivating me. Hallelujah. Love motivates. Love motivates. If I want to change somebody, if I can give them love, it will motivate them in the right direction. Hallelujah. So, Father, Lord, we ask you that you empower us with your grace to walk in this love. What you want from us is first love. First, it cannot be second. God does not carry second. It's first. So help us, Lord, to give you first love. We know that you see us, you see our hearts, everything in it. And we know that you will reward those who diligently seek you. We cannot do it in our power. We need your grace and we need faith to walk with you. So, Lord, we just put our trust in you. We put our faith in you. We put our hope in you. We depend on you. In this life, we're not going to hold anything too tightly. I'm not saying you cannot hold them at all, but don't hold them too tightly. Anytime you're holding anything too tightly, you can't live by faith. You hold them, but Trust God. That is your greatest treasure. The Bible says, God spoke to Abraham, he said, I am your exceedingly great reward. And if I can see God like that, I will live for his glory. And then every other thing I need will be added to me. Sometimes some things will go away. Good things, so like you know, so called. But in time, the better will come. That's what it means to trust in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, because we will bear fruit of righteousness. We will represent you well as ambassadors on this earth. We will turn many to righteousness. We will bring them in to the way of Christ. Bible says, through our love, the all men will know that we are true disciples. We ask that you help us. For in Jesus' name, we are free. Amen. I just sing that last line. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you are the cup that won't run dry. Hallelujah. Treasure. Yeah, we're talking about treasures in heaven. Let's sing it. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. Oh Lord, in my weakness, you are merciful. Treasure of my heart and soul. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful. In my weakness, you are merciful. You are the Redeemer of my past,
Redeemer of my past
and present
moment.
Holder of my future,
Holder of my future days to come.
Let's do that again. You are the treasure of my heart and soul.